Going to bring in Scott Howard Cooper from NBA.com. He recently made a trip with some other NBA folks over to Afghanistan to see our troops. He was also in Dubai. And just looking at it online, looked very interesting, and we're going to talk to him about it. Scott, always good to have you on. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. So how long were you gone for?
It was about a week, maybe 8 days, if you include the travel. It was a day and a half or so in Dubai where the group had gathered before everybody came from different points in the U.S., met in Dubai, and then went from there to Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. Was there in the country for about 4.5 days.
All right, so I got to ask you my personal question. What airline did you fly to Dubai?
That's a very good question, one I would ask myself. I did United to Frankfurt.
That's a mistake. Next time you fly, you call me up, okay? I'll take care of you.
You know what? Normally I'm okay with that. Normally I like banking my miles, but in this case it was a bad mistake. They're about to retire their 747s, and this one was definitely in need of retirement. And then I switched to Lufthansa from Frankfurt to Dubai. And on the way back, I did Swiss Air through Zurich. It was really good because I had about 6 or 7 hours layover, which normally is not ideal. But Zurich is such a great city.
It's phenomenal.
I actually headed into town for a few hours.
All right. Well, listen, next time you go to Dubai, if you're not on Emirates Air, cancel your trip. But anyway, so before we talk about, you know, the people you went over there and everything, from you just being with the troops in Afghanistan, from your perspective, what was that like?
Inspirational. That's the word that I keep coming back to. It was educational. It was fascinating. It was an experience that I know very few people get, and I appreciate it. But more than anything, it was inspirational to see the work they put in, the dedication, the courage. And I think that I'm like most Americans, that I appreciate what the military does for us. I don't take it for granted. So it's not like I had let it roll off my shoulder at any other time in my life when you say, boy, these people are a long way from home. But then when you actually get there and sort of see the actual perspective, you come away with a whole new level of appreciation. And again, this is from somebody who appreciated it in the first place, but inspirational. That's the word I keep coming back to.
Scott, what do you, in your take, as you're sitting and you're looking at the landscape of everything, interacting with the troops, and what do you think that type of thing means to the troops?
Well, having the players there, having Caron Butler, Sam Perkins, Ivory Latta of the Washington Mystics from the WNBA, Bob Delaney was there, former referee, now the NBA's VP of referee operations. He was one of the people that helped organize it because he's got a close friendship with the base commander. I think it was invaluable just to their spirits in general. One thing we heard over and over was the people thanking the NBA and the WNBA ambassadors who came over. And the four of them kept saying, no, you don't understand. We thank you. But again, the military people just kept thanking the visitors, because I think they appreciated the connection to home. They understood that this was something that was not a paid job for any of these guys, any of the four. They came over on their own time. The USO organized it and paid for the travel, but this was something that nobody had to do. They chose to do. And so they were very, very appreciative, and I think that was genuine. The connection to home, just hearing it from people, thank you, and we appreciate all that you do to look out for us so far away and things like that. But the unique situation going on in Bagram, and I think this is why I was especially appreciative, some people may remember the news from November, just about 3 months before this visit. This visit was right at the time of the All-Star break. 3 months before that, there was a suicide bomber on the base, and people were killed, civilian contractors and troops, and a lot of people were injured. And the base has not recovered from that. and in fact had life had changed so much that there were very, very few events like this. And having the four people come over, have the USO make the effort to make the appearance, was especially important because this was a sense of trying to get back to normal as they struggle with the emotions of losing their comrades and the tragedy that had taken place and the horror that everyone had gone through. And that included there were still remnants of the attack. There were pockmarks from one of the walls that had not been painted over. And so it was not hard to get a reminder on the terrible events that had taken place in November. And having these people come over sort of was a step in everybody moving forward and trying to get past that and dealing with that. And some of the soldiers and even the base commander, the major general, was very frank about that, about the added importance that what would have been an important moment for the soldiers on the base anyway was especially important because of what everyone had gone through.
Amazing. Scott Howard Cooper, NBA.com. You know, I didn't realize this until a couple of years ago when I received an email from one of our troops serving. Emailed me from Iraq, and it never dawned on me with the way technology is and with the internet, the accessibility to hear a radio show like this or to watch a football game, if you know, or an NBA game. And in the email, it was a thank you. You don't realize, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but when you're so far away from home and you're in this situation, just to hear a familiar voice or to have the ability to turn on a basketball game for 2 hours or a football game, you know, if time allots and you're in that situation, they said they could not, he was explaining to me, just to have no idea what it's like to be away from home from your loved ones and in that environment and yet be able to almost reach out via the internet and technology. Did you sense that, you know, the troops with you know, being so far away from home and, as you said, in immense danger in so many instances, that is such a big help to them? And you were over there obviously representing the NBA and you had Karan and Sam, but can you speak on that?
Oh, it's huge. I think that it sounds like the email that you got sums up the feeling of thousands of troops on that base and I don't know how many hundreds of thousands around the world, that to have that connection. If somebody is from Sacramento, Northern California, and they can listen in for an hour a day, maybe the whole show, whatever it might be, to Grant and Doug talking about the Kings, and maybe, I don't know if they get to hear the commercials as well, just hometown news.
Sure,
And things like that. Oh, my gosh, I think that was everything. And one of the guys, one of the soldiers I spoke with is from Miami, and he said, you know, he remembers Caron Butler when Caron played for the Heat. So that was a connection for him. And these are the guys that, in many cases, they used to see on TV, even the younger ones. You know, Sam Perkins and Caron Butler were prominent enough that even if you weren't really old when Sam was in his prime, he was around long enough and he was good enough that you're certainly going to remember him. So I would say that is 100% spot on. Just the conversations that they enjoyed having, even with the people, the support staff from the USO, who are from different parts of the country, including one gentleman was a photographer from right here in Sacramento, was over there as well. And so there's no question that connection is important. But I think one of the things that I found out, and this hadn't struck me before, I think that would be the case anyway, no matter where you're stationed around the world. The big difference here is if you're stationed in Asia, if you're stationed in a lot of the U.S. bases in Western Europe, some other spots around the world, there's you know, people in Australia for part of the year. That's one of those things. I mean, let's face it, if you're stationed in Germany, if you're stationed in Italy, then it's, hey, we got a night off, let's head into town. If you get a weekend, you can go see some sights. This is Afghanistan. There's no such thing as going into town unless you're risking your life.
Wow.
So there is that added sense of cabin fever is how I termed it, that not only are you half a world away, with people literally launching rockets into your backyard on a regular basis in the spring, summer, and fall. You're walking around, part of the mandatory uniform is to carry a tourniquet with you. You can never be more than 10 minutes away from your armored vest and your helmet. Being in the military is hard enough. Being in the military in Afghanistan is an extra challenge because you don't leave. You don't go outside the wall. They call it outside the wire. You don't do that unless you have heavy, heavy security or you're going by helicopter or plane. It's not like being in a lot of other military bases where you say, let's go into town. So the point you mentioned, and I think I'm dragging on too long here, but I just want to emphasize it, that Afghanistan and some of the other places like that in that region are especially unique because you don't have that interaction with the outside world. So when you get it through the internet, when you get it through a visit by a player that you remember, boy, you just grab onto it.
Scott Howard Cooper, NBA.com. Scott, you know, something that, as you were telling this story, when I played with the Kings and we were at the height, it's some really cool used to happen is we would get some of our military servicemen and women, they would send us pictures. And if it was on a tank, and, you know, a lot of them are athletes, ex-athletes, they're fans of NBA, football, all that. So they, you know, they're chirping at each other. They would send us pictures of Kings logos on different bombs, tanks, all types. It was just some of the coolest stuff that I ever saw, and it was an honor for them to give us love like that. When you were there, because you mentioned outside the wire, you're in Afghanistan. What type of activities were you guys able to do with the troops?
Well, there were some activities that went on that hadn't happened in the 3 months. As I said, life had changed so much since the suicide attack, the suicide bomber. And that's why this was unique, that this was kind of the first step forward. And they used to be able to play basketball, and they hadn't done that until this tour came over. Wow. And they did a dunk contest, a three-point, a skills competition. It was timed to happen at the same time as All-Star Weekend in New Orleans.
Yes.
To have the same events go on this airbase. And so they have two different USO centers, including one named after Pat Tillman, the NFL dedicated
yeah.
that. And they watch TV. They have movies. I think it's a lot of playing video games on your computers. They have this one part in one of the USO centers that I thought was fantastic. They have a microphone and a chair and a small video camera, and the men and women in the service can record reading a bedtime story. And then that gets sent home to the United States, and somebody plays it for the children at home to have their parents still reading them a bedtime story.
That's
and I thought,
That's awesome.
What a fantastic idea. So they try to simulate everyday life as much as possible with these different activities. Obviously, you can't come close. No one is trying to pretend otherwise. But, yeah, they try to do different things and have activities and try to make it that every day as much as they can.
We're talking with Scott Howard Cooper. And, again, you should follow him on Twitter at S. Howard Cooper, and you can read his part one and part two. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this also going to be shown on NBA TV?
NBA TV tonight, as a matter of fact, at 8 o'clock Pacific time. The show is called Beyond the Paint, and my trip to Afghanistan is one of the segments on that show, and it will be replayed. If people can't catch it or DVR tonight, it's going to be replayed over the next few days as well. The show is called Beyond the Paint.
You know, I'm curious, based on what happened in that base in November and, you know, going over there with Bob and Sam and the other people in your travel group, did you feel safe? Do you feel safe the whole time you're over there?
I think here's what somebody told me on the very first day. As you're walking by, there's bunkers everywhere. And rockets can, they said not at this time of the year, it doesn't happen very often. But you're never far from being reminded where you are. And what somebody told me on the very first day I was there was, if the siren goes off and you cannot get to either a secure building or the bunker, if you hit the ground, make sure you keep your mouth open. And I was sort of thrown a little bit, and I said, why is that? And they said, if you close your mouth, your lungs will not be able to expand and contract when the shock waves hit, and your lungs will explode. So make sure you keep your lungs open, your mouth open.
Whoa.
And I said, yeah, I got it. Yeah. Note to self, keep your mouth open. When you hit the ground as the rocket is coming in. So anybody who says that they weren't a little bit on edge,
sure,
a civilian, I think, is either crazy or lying or both. At the same time, you feel as safe as possible. Because it was a VIP group set up through the USO, there's people walking around with you basically every step of the way. You don't go anywhere without a lot of people that have you that are armed. And everybody on the base, when they're on duty, is armed, except the chaplain. And that includes people waiting to play in the pickup basketball game. I saw a couple of the guys that were in shorts, T-shirts, and in their basketball shoes, and still carrying, still either had the rifle over their chest or had the sidearm. So you know that you're in a different place, but at the same time, you know that these people are looking out for you. So I felt as secure as possible. The one time that it was probably, I was probably most struck, is we took the two helicopters, versions of the Chinook helicopters, the transports, to different bases, to a couple of the outlying bases, 45 minutes to an hour away. And we came in for landing, and it's obviously hostile territory in certain parts. And I asked one of the soldiers, I said, not a smart aleck comment. I said, just genuinely interested and not to meant to put to be a smart ass or to put anybody on edge, but why doesn't somebody take a shot at us? They said, this is a helicopter that's coming in for a landing. It's moving slow. Why isn't anybody taking a shot? And they said, well, because they have other targets in mind at other times of the year. So it obviously crosses your mind, and you're coming in for a landing, and you can't help but wonder. And you notice things like when you land at the main base, when you land at Bagram, you notice that the landing is a little bit steeper, and maybe a few more circles maneuvering to come in for a landing. So you notice things, but it's not the kind of thing that when I was sleeping, not the kind of thing when I was walking around the base, anything like that you kind of worried. It's just that. There were those odd moments, yeah. I mean, again, somebody telling you, remember to keep your mouth open when the rocket hits, is something that stays with you.
Yes, Scott Howard, CooperNBA.com. You mentioned that you flew and you went to Germany, and then from there you went to Afghanistan?
Went connected from California to Frankfurt to Dubai, and that's where the whole group met up, was in Dubai for the final leg, 3 hours from Dubai into Afghanistan.
So at what point did it go total military, when you left civilian life and you were just like, okay, whoa, I'm in this?
When I say the instant you land at Bagram Air Base, I mean the instant. A truck pulls in front of you with flashing lights and a big sign that says, follow me, because you're under their control, that nobody is going to make a sudden move in any direction without the military being aware. And you come down the stairs, there's no jetway, you come down the stairs and you see big guns and big planes, and they call them T-walls, these giant cement barricades that are on the flight line to protect the planes in case of attack. So the instant that you land, you understand that you have left the life that you previously knew.
8 o'clock Pacific, NBA TV tonight. As we wrap this up, You said a little more than a week over there. What's the one lasting thought, impression that you took with you back to the U.S.?
It's the strangest things that sometimes hit you that are unexpected. You go, you know, we got to look down and into a cockpit of an F-16 fighter jet and get within, you're pretty much able to touch the seat. Black Hawk helicopters, and you flew around the country and you see these massive weapons and the razor wire and all these things. And I was left with probably two memories that stand out that showed me the personal side, much more than the military side. We were there. Part of the event was to have a watch party for the All-Star game itself. It was Sunday evening in New Orleans, and it was early Monday morning there. And the TV was on, and they're doing the pregame show. And the minute they said national anthem, Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
we like the national anthem in the United States. These people live for the national anthem. And
cool.
Just the sight of...
Gosh, that's awesome.
The silence and standing at attention, and it's like, that's something that will always stay with me. And the other thing was they have what they call challenge coins, which is, for lack of a, it's a handout, and they are actual coins, and the major general, the commander of the base, gave them out to everybody in the USO tour, and that was terrific. But he also, you know, has a giant stack of them. But then on the last day, there was a Army specialist who had been in our group, you know, helping to show us around and look after our security, came up to me and a couple of the other people and said, there's something I want you to have. And they do what basically is a secret handshake. Part of the ritual is you do the handshake, and it's like slipping the maitre d' a five, you know, a five in Vegas to get a better table. And so you're not supposed to look at it. You're not supposed to know what's happening. The world is not supposed to know what's happening, even though everybody does. But that's just part of the tradition. And this was this Army specialist from Utah, who I had gotten to know a little bit, and he gave me a challenge coin, and I can't tell you how much that meant to me.
Wow.
That's what'll stay with me, and I have this. I'm looking at it right now, and it's 5 feet away from my desk at home, and I'm going to keep it forever, and
that's awesome.
beyond special.
Hey, listen, it's great to have you on to talk about that, and I wasn't even aware that you had done that until I was looking at everything on your Twitter account, and that's why I wanted to have you on. And again, folks, you can see it, NBA TV tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific. It will also be replayed as well. Scott, great having you on. Thanks very much.
Well, I know it's a different topic. I really appreciate the chance to come on and talk about this, because any chance to give people a new level of insight on the amazing military that we have standing up for us far away from home is I appreciate the opportunity to brag about them.
Well, thank you. It was very enlightening and informative, and it was a great listen. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, be well. Scott Howard Cooper, NBA.com.